Okay? When we look at James, James is justification before man. There is contrast. When we look at Paul, for Paul, faith is the root of justification. You got that? For Paul, faith is the root of justification. When we look at James, works are the fruit of justification. Okay? You need the root, but without the root, you can't get what? The fruit.
Amen.
Okay? So there is what, when we look at Paul and we look at James, there is something, they're both dealing with justification, but the outworking of it, for everything, James says, faith works. Faith works. Keep in mind, throughout this letter, James is not trying to define or describe what faith means, but what it looks like. Now hear me out, folks, because the thematic structure of James really is all about faith. He's not describing or trying to define what faith means, but what it looks like in the life of the church and in the life of the believer. And we know that when James is writing this letter, who is he writing it to? The church, the believers. He's not writing to people that don't know anything about God. This is the church in Jerusalem. Second, much of James, hear me out, much of James is not just about a personal truth for each Christian or for us as Christians, but also about relational harmony and unity in terms of how you and I are to love, care, and treat one another. Speaking and acting, now hear me, speaking and acting toward one another with and out of Christ-like love. The beef that James has here is, and as it's throughout the book, the beef that James really has, really in a nutshell, is Christians not acting like Christians. That's the real beef that he has throughout most of his book. So in other words, the truth and admonition in James, his letter, was not, hey, how these truths are changing and affecting me, which they need to, but also how it is affecting the church. Being an example. Being an example. How many of you know it's not what you say, it's what you do? If I could say 1,000 words, I can destroy it in one action. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be perfect to walk on eggshells. James does a lot of contrast. In the first 3 weeks, we had Pastor Dave cover, basically, in the first week, how we respond and to appropriately respond to trials. In the second week, the same thing, but as it relates to temptations. And then finally, in last week, it was basically, again, how do you and I respond appropriately as it relates to the Word of God in our lives? Let's pray. Father, right now, I thank you as I ask you and invite your manifest presence here, that, Lord, you would unction and empower me and anoint me, God, to share this message, God, to our hearts, our minds, and our lives, and my own heart, God. And I pray, God, for that authority, God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, that your presence and your spirit, God, would just inspire us and move in our hearts, God, and energize us and revive us and re-challenge us, God, in the name of Jesus this day. Amen. Hey, don't worry about the slides. We're working with that stuff. All right. Issue one, our main issue here. Dead religion. We got a verse behind that. We know we're cool. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, James chapter 1, verse 26, if you want to follow along in your Bible. We're going to be going from James 1, 26 down to almost like 2:13. All right, great. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is
worthless,
useless. Let's pick this apart a little bit. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, the actual Greek term, threskos, is only used here in the New Testament. It is only used here in James. Now, what is he talking about? The focus is on religious performances. Not being religious, but religious performances. What am I talking about? I'm talking about worship. I'm talking about praying. James is talking about this. I'm talking about things like fasting. I'm talking about things like giving. All good stuff, right? All good things. All part of the Christian's life. And they should be. They need to be. We should continue. We should live that way. Being in God's Word and things like that, right? And even be able to hopefully quote some scriptures or have some scriptures in the back of our mind and in our heart. But James adds something important. And does not bridle, tame his own tongue, but deceives his own heart. This one's religion is worthless. In the New King James, it's useless. The tongue, my friends, the tongue is the barometer. The tongue itself. The tongue, very germy, little bacteria, whatever. Don't touch my fingers, right? Later on, don't shake my hand. The tongue is the barometer. We ask how? How? The answer is fruit. Fruit. Think of the scripture. Make the tree good and the fruit good, or make the tree bad and the fruit bad. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, the tongue, begins to speak. Now keep in mind, just if you don't realize this, and I don't know if we have it, but there James is always, he's taking a lot of sayings from Matthew's Gospel, the Sermon on the Mount, and Luke, the Sermon on the Plain, just a lot of sayings of Jesus. And that particular one is also listed in Luke as well, in the Sermon on the Plain. He's taking a lot of sayings from Jesus. His audience would understand that he is thinking about Jesus. A lot, when you read James, he's drawing a lot from the sayings of Jesus. But here is the point. If we pride ourselves in what, listen to me, I'm going to repeat this twice. If we pride ourselves in what we do, more than what we are becoming or should become, deception has masked our hearts and one's religious practice are meaningless. Did you get what I just said to you? You see, it's very easy for the Christian to begin to say, wow, I do this for God. Wow, I do that for God. Wow, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to take some Rutgers kids to the pumpkin farm. Wow, I'm going to go and I'm going to retake. Wow, I'm going to go and I'm going to get this done. Please, I'm not diminishing this, but I'm trying to use these examples. I'm going to go and I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to go and I'm going to go and I'm going to touch and feed the poor today. But if you and I, if that performance becoming, you know, it's not about doing that. If we pride ourselves in doing that more than what we are becoming, it's useless. Do you get what I'm saying today? Mm-hmm. Seriously. We must consider in everything that what I do, those practices are great, but what I do must be, it has to be, coupled with the character of Christ. Somebody says that is the character of Christ. Yes, it is, but do you realize you can do those things without the love of Jesus? Do you and I realize that we can do a lot of things, but not express the fruit of the Spirit behind it? Where about kindness, gentleness, meekness, humbleness? The fruit of the Spirit. Solution. Pure religion. Pure religion. Enough that's up there. That's okay. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. To visit orphans and widows in their trouble. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Let's pick it apart a little bit. Pure and undefiled religion for God and the Father. The first characteristic is here in this particular verse is active concern with the love of God for the helpless and the weak. Now James, indeed there was orphans, there was widows, but you got to understand James is pulling things into his examples. He's using realistic life things, but he's also pulling in examples. Who is more helpless than, right, an orphan? Who is more helpless and in need of things than what? A widow. And they had plenty of them in the Jerusalem church. But he's using this as an example. We need to have active concern for those that are in trouble. But you know what? Again, it must be out of, it must be filtered through the love and the grace of God when we address people. And how we work with people. The second characteristic focuses on the world. Now, let me clarify something to you. When we read, keep oneself unspotted from the world, we always seem to strictly interpret that in terms of moral terms, as a command not to sin. Of course, I'm not saying go out and sin. But James, in his context, is saying something different. He's saying what he means here is that we need to keep ourselves unstained from faulty worldviews. The world's wrong way of thinking and acting. Okay, let's bring this up the next slide. I don't know if we have that. The principle. Okay, principle. The tongue and the fruit are vital to one's faith. What's the application here? Genuine religious experience will be marked by love for others and holiness before God. Let me say something to you, church, today, is that this. A lot of times holiness, we always think of in the Christian eyes, we always think about personal holiness. We do. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be. However, listen to me. In terms of God, holiness is always connected to people. It's connected to people. How I work, how I relate, how am I before others? How do I relate to my fellow man? How do I relate to my fellow Christian? How do I speak? How do I act? How do I present myself? Application. Genuine religious experience will be marked by love for others and holiness before God. Now, we're going to show a video clip. And I want you to think of people in general as you just hit, it's only about a minute long, as we listen to this video clip. I don't know if we have it.
Cries in the corner where nobody sees. He's the kid with the story no one would believe. He prays every night, dear God, won't you please, could you send someone here who will love me? Who will love me for
church, we sometimes associate the fact that the very people that are in it, everything's going great for them. Everything is wonderful, everything is peachy, creamy. You know what? The person that's next to you and I, they need the love that you can express to them.
Amen.
Now somebody says, well, why don't God do it? No, God's called you to do it. He doesn't need to come again. He already died on the cross. He already gave his life. He doesn't need to return to do what he did. He's given you and I that place. He's given you and I that transformation. He's given you and I that power to be what he was while he was here on the earth toward other people.
Yes.
Amen. It's very simple, this Christian life. Very simple. Okay. We're going to have some fun. Okay, chapter 1. That was the end of chapter 1. Chapter 1 closes out with the subject of that worldliness, okay? In chapter 2, James begins to identify, and we're going to probably cover 2 today here, James begins to identify the first major sign of being worldly, of being no different than the world. This particular incident shows up in a church quite often. And James cites an example very similar to Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 11. It's a parable. And Matthew 23. Now, the issue here is reflecting the world. Reflecting the world. I'm going to read it. We may not have the whole verse up there, but just listen. Now, listen, James is writing to believers, right? Now, if you don't know it, the word, my brethren, when he says my brethren, James references it about 15 times, I believe. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, and remember that in the back of your head for a second, keep it there, with partiality. If a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. Now listen. Listen carefully. And if you pay attention, James is undressing worldliness sometimes in the life of God's people. If you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and you say to him, you come sit here. You come and sit next to me, brother. You come and sit next to me. But the one that comes in shabby clothes. Now notice the cold response, the cold welcome. Stand over there, right? Stand over there or sit next to my feet. Sit down at my feet. James says, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the whole thing was up there. It doesn't matter. Now, this may be a true example. The Jerusalem church was poor and had some rich folks. But if you don't mind, do you mind? I'm going to do my own illustration for today. You okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You want to help? Oh, you have no choice. Can you guys get up? Stand over there. Do you have feet? If it wasn't for my wife, I don't know where. You got it? Wait, I need tape. No, I'm going to hold that leg. Okay, did you see that? I don't know if you saw what that was. What is that? What does this say? Now, I want you to take this the right way. Did you ever come into a church? And I'm not bashing a church. I'm trying to give you a real life example today. You ever come in a church and the church is reserved?
Yeah.
How do you feel?
A little excluded.
Weird.
A little excluded. Who said what?
Weird.
Okay, what else would you feel?
Not at all.
I just got you out of there. How do you feel?
The members here are clickish.
Okay.
You guys can't quite. I don't belong. I'm belong.
Dave, what do you think? How'd you feel? I said, Dave, you can't sit there. You can't sit there. Alienated, okay. Coltrane, Canadian, come here. Come out here. Come on. Now, this man's a pastor too. So, guess what? You get to be privileged. Sit down, sit down. Come on, I'm welcoming you. Come on, come on. I love you. Come on, no, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. You are great. How does that make you feel?
I don't fit in here.
How does that make you feel? Excluded. How about a little bit on the inferior side?
Yeah.
Not what?
Not good enough.
Not good enough. Anybody else?
It's intimidating.
What else? Come on. Don't be shy.
Rejected.
Nah, let us stand. Is somebody better than you?
No, not anymore.
Oh, they're not anymore. Pray tell, Gil. Gil, you, why?
I know who I am in Christ.
Amen.
Because you're redeemed.
Amen.
Because you're saved. Because you're daughter of God. Amen. You're a child of what? The living King?
Amen.
Oh, is that why you're important?
Yes.
So I shouldn't push you away, right?
Amen.
I shouldn't push you down.
No. That's right.
I shouldn't keep you away.
My Father will deal with you. Oh.
I would take off this belt, but I've lost a lot of weight, and the pants would go, what? I don't think you'd be entertained in that. My wife would never come back to church. Did you hear what Gail said? Would you repeat that one more time? You said not anymore, right?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Why is it? You can sit down, guys.
On the floor!
You see what a smart Alex is? Let me tell you something. Why is it that we act like the world when the world should be acting like us? Ask me, answer. Ask me. Why are we acting like the world? Because this is what the world does. When the world should be acting like us. Now, you may not want to hear it, but I'm going to tell you like it is. This practice is sinful. Why? Because it reflects the world when we should be reflecting God.
Amen.
You've crossed the barrier. You've crossed the line. That's not the way to live as a Christian. And let me tell you something. If you're going to get lock, stock, and barrel involved in Jesus and give your life to Him, you've got to live it all the way.
Amen.
Not with 10,000 words coming out of your mouth, but in the life that you live. And that goes for me too. Goes for me too. Not talking about perfection. We're talking about, Aaron and I talk about a lot of it, integrity. Integrity. Living before God is my Father. What is that? We have the chosen, and what? The frozen? Is that the way we should be living? James condemns, in his example and in this example, James condemns this behavior in two areas. First, notice partiality among who? Among yourselves. And let me tell you something, it's even worse when it comes inside the church. Partiality among who? Not the world. He's writing to believers. Partiality among yourselves. Christ made them all one. Christ made us all one.
Yes.
If you don't look like me, you don't dress like me, that doesn't mean you're not. I don't love you equally. I'm a hockey guy. You're a football person. What does that have to do with anything? We love each other. If you know this in God, but I know that in God, or you walk with God this way, and I walk with God this way, as long as we're united in Christ, and you're a believer, and we walk with God, we are one.
Amen.
There is no difference.
Amen.
And Paul says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you, we as believers are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
That should make us rejoice.
Yes.
That should bring the joy in our heart. That is what God and where God is honored. Oh, I can quote scripture. So what? I can too. That doesn't make me better.
Right.
I may be different because I, you know, maybe I value, you know, okay, I can quote this or I can quote. But so what? Not everybody in all things are equal, but in God we are equal.
Yes.
We must make sure that we have no preconceived liking of one person versus another as a result of one's status or position or anything. Anything. Second, judges with evil thoughts. Judges with evil thoughts. Both actions reflect the thinking and the behavior of the world. Okay, solution. Solution. Reflecting the glory of God. I don't know if it's okay. The solution is reflecting the glory of God. Now remember I told you in James 2:1, I told you, remember that one piece, the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory. The first one of the, James is trying to highlight the characteristic of the glory of God. And the Lord of glory, this God that you and I serve, God shows personal favoritism to no man. I don't know if that scripture's up there. God shows no personal favoritism to man. Galatians 2:6. And Deuteronomy 10:17. So it's not only in the New Testament, it's also in the Old Testament. Principle. Let's look at the principle and the application here. Principle and the application. Partiality is a violation of God's character and an insult to Him. It is serious sin. Application. The sincere Christian. I didn't say the perfect Christian. The sincere Christian shows no favoritism in his or her relationships. The believer. This is the key. The believer needs to look at everyone in relation to the glory of God. The believer needs to look at everyone in relation to the glory of God, because the God that we serve showed no partiality when He saved you and I.
Amen.
I'm like Him more than her. That's a, folks, don't tell me, don't quote that scripture to me. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. You better understand the context of that. You need to understand the biblical context of that. And let's not sit in the seat of God. Let's let God be God. The next example James employs is the Word of God. We're going to read this to you. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. But if you show partiality, you're committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Now James makes it very clear there. Now listen. Whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have to become a transgressor of the law. So, now listen, this is the key part. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. Now, as it relates to God's word, it in itself is not partial at all. God's word is not partial at all. One piece is not any less important or valuable than the other. You get that?
Yes.
Not one piece of God's word is any less important or valuable than the other. Now, listen, this is an example. James is using an example. We've got murder, we've got adultery. He's using these examples. And what he's saying is, yes, some immediate consequences of some sins are greater than others. They are. They are. Adultery, divorce, murder, what?
Jail.
Jail, or maybe in some places, what?
Death.
So the immediate consequences, there are differences. However, both lead and can lead to ruin or hurt. And both are a violation of God's will. Now, don't get me wrong. Forgiveness and repentance restores and is able to restore all things. This heals all things. James is not trying to talk about that. He's trying to say, he's using another example, as God's word has no partiality. Neither should we in this Christian life. We should not have any level of partiality. We should reflect as God's word does, not some love, but absolute, complete love. The love of God to humanity. I don't pick and choose. Now, don't get me wrong, some people have different relationships and greater relationship with some more than others, but that doesn't mean you don't love the person just as much. You get it? As we should love them in Christ. Therefore, my friends, it is the law of liberty. The law of liberty. God's words. We see God's word as a whole. That moves you and I to how we respond to a dead religion and worldly. So I told you in the beginning, we have faith out of action or faith out of order. Well, you know what? We need to fix the plumbing maybe. We need to recycle and get back and look at God and look in the eyes of God and say, look God, am I living the way I should be living? Not am I saying everything right, but how am I living, God? How am I living? You see, I've been a believer for over 30 years. I've preached hundreds of messages. God is not going to, when I get to eternity, He's not going to stand up and say, those 300 messages, boy, they were the great, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread because of those 300 messages. Huh. No, God's going to look at me and say, Vince, how did you live? How did you relate to the people that you preached? Did you have a relationship with them? Did you build a relationship with them? Did you love them as I would love them? That's what God's going to say to me. That's what God's going to say to me. Principle, I don't know if you have it. The royal law, remember we said the royal law requires that we treat and value each person as royalty. As royalty. Everybody's important. Everybody should be valued. Application. Now, let's get the application. Let's go home with the application today. Defines the believer. The believer must show courtesy to all. Compassion to all or for all. There's three of them there. Courtesy to all, compassion to all. What's the last one? You want to be effective in a Christian life? This is where it begins. That's what James is saying. This is where the rubber meets the road. Street level Christianity. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it is. And people will take notice of you and I by what we do before anything that we say. They will. Again, you don't need to walk on eggshells. We just need to walk in relationship with God and people. In closing today, please understand, the Bible is not only about discovering truth. You know, in our American, our Western Christianity, we get all elated. Today, I discovered something new in God. Well, what good is it that didn't translate into your life? What good is it that's not becoming a part of you who we need to be and who we should be in God? Now, I love the Bible. I love its truths. But the transformation of that truth in our hearts and lives, that's the goal. That's the goal. That's the goal. Oh, I follow all the religious things of God. Wow, let me give you 5 stars. But what good is it if you're not living that life out? And I'm not just saying you're not. I'm talking about me too. So we call it the worship team, Paula. So with this in mind, this message today, maybe something sunk into you. Maybe at least the end, the believer must show courtesy to all, compassion to all, consistency to all. Well, I don't like the person. Well, you need to get a heart that will like this. You need to get the evil out of your heart then.
Yeah.
Sorry. It is what it is.
Right.
Well, you're not going to like everybody. You better love everybody.
Right.
And you better have a good reason not to like people. You don't know them. How could you not like them?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. You know what? I'm sorry. You know what bothers me today is that, you know what? Sometimes even as believers, a person says one word, boom, we're gone.
That's right.
That's how you live as a Christian? You turn your back? You move away from somebody that quickly? Wow, sure glad Jesus didn't do that to you and I the first time we met.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
But that's Jesus. Well, you're supposed to live like him, so am I. Right? Come on now, what's happening here? Right? Don't you want to live like him? Don't you want to become like him? I can't. No, the Bible says you can. That's a lie of the devil. Ooh.
Amen.
It's a lie of Satan. He's lying to you. He's deceiving you.
Yes.
The Bible says, read in Romans, we are to be conformed to the image of his son. That's right. That's not platitudes. That's not vocal expression. That's a reality. Now again, I don't look for perfection. I look for relationships. Lil and I have been married 265 years. You think everything's peachy dreamy all the time? It's not. But I'm committed to a relationship. I'm in love with the woman. She's in love with me. Am I capable, infallible? Of course, we all are. But you know what? I want to put my relationship on what? I want to love for my wife like as Christ loves. I want to love for people as Christ does.
Amen.
Oh, I can't do it. Yes, you can with Jesus.
Yes, amen.
The Bible says that the Holy Spirit places the love of God in our hearts. Are you here today? Do you need that? Do you need that today? We're closing now. Do you need, are you here today? Do you, first of all, with every head bowed, every eye closed, do you need Jesus today? Get that hand up. Get that hand up if you need Christ today. That power of God wants to get a hold of you. Amen. That power of God. We're going to close out the service and we're going to end it. Now listen to me. We have a time of prayer time, a ministry time. It's not to put you on the spot, it's to invite you. It's to love you, it's to welcome you, it's to embrace you. Jesus didn't give somebody a bunch of platitudes and words and got done with a sermon and said, all right, goodbye, next crowd in. This is not an assembly line, this is not a manufacturing plant. We're talking about lives, we're talking about people. You matter, you're valued. God values you. So if you need anything as we close out the service too, there's going to be people up here at the front. Cinda, Will, Linda, Stacy. Cole, would you come up here with me? Stay with me. If you need anything today, the Son of God is here for you. If you need anything, if you need a touch or a spark of the love of God in your life again, get it. He's here to offer you. He loves you. He loves you.